Welcome to Make Peace with Food. I'm your host, Emily Lavoie, a certified eating psychology coach. I own a virtual private practice, and I work with clients all over the world, one-on-one and in group programs, to help heal their relationship with food and improve body image. Here at Make Peace with Food, we believe food is not your enemy, that eating should be fun and bring you joy and pleasure, not stress and guilt. To keep this a safe space, I will try my best to avoid mentioning numbers like calories and weight, as well as other potentially triggering content, but you know yourself best, so please avoid any episode topics that may not feel helpful to where you're at in your healing journey. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes. It's not a replacement for medical or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment, nor does it provide a client or patient relationship. Consult your own provider on any changes you're thinking about making. Today's episode is brought to you by my one-on-one coaching. If you're curious about becoming a client and want to learn more about what it looks and feels like to receive support in healing your relationship with food and improving your body image, go to my website, emily-lavoie.com, to schedule a free 30-minute Zoom consultation. Welcome to episode one. I'm so excited to have you here. And the topic that I want to discuss today really has to do with kind of why so many of us are struggling with food and so many of us are struggling with negative body image. Why are we all struggling with these things? So what I'm really discussing is a little bit about what these challenges are rooted in and what is causing us to have negative relationship with food or unwanted eating habits and poor body image. You may or may not have noticed that our culture seems to have an obsession with thinness, almost like thinness gets worshipped. And so many people have tried and tried and tried for years, if not decades, to go on diets. People pursue intentional weight loss. And people restrict food and follow food rules in order to lose weight or achieve thinness. And this pressure that our culture puts on us to become thin ends up doing so much harm and so much damage. It is really disgusting when we think about it. We understand that human bodies come in a large variety of skin colors. There's an entire spectrum of shades of skin, from incredibly light and fair-skinned to incredibly dark skin. And we acknowledge different skin colors is a thing. And just as much as we know, humans come in a large variety of heights. Some are shorter, some are taller. We do not do a very good job of acknowledging that bodies also come in a large variety of size, shape, and weight. So what our culture does is it conditions us to think that there's a quote-unquote right and quote-unquote wrong way to have a body, or a right BMI category. Gosh, I hate the BMI. I will cover that in an entire episode of the history of the BMI and the harms of the BMI, but we can't get into that too deeply today. So for now, I will just say I despise it. It does so much harm. It needs to be canceled immediately. It's bullshit. We are kind of brainwashed to think that we need to have a body that falls into maybe certain BMI categories, eye roll, and not other BMI categories. We've been conditioned to think that we can look at a person's appearance, and based on that person's size or weight of their body, we can tell something about their health. We can judge whether a person is healthy or not based on their body size. And that does harm to everybody. It does harm to people who live in larger bodies, and it does harm to people who live in smaller bodies. We'll also talk about that more deeply in a future episode. Because health truly exists in every body size. So there are people who live in small bodies who have health complications. They might have unmanaged symptoms. They might have an illness or a disease that they're trying to treat and they're struggling with. And there are also people on the other side of the spectrum who maybe live in a larger body, but they aren't struggling with any unwanted symptoms. They are healthy and booming, living a great life. And truly, I think it's important to acknowledge, okay, HIPAA is this law that protects a person's health. So I think we need to practice catching ourselves when we are looking at people's bodies, looking at their appearance, looking at their weight, and making a judgment about their health. A person's health is nobody's business but their own and their doctor's, unless they have asked you to make their health your business. I used to do this. I used to look at people and make judgments about their health, or look at people and make assumptions about how they lived their life, their lifestyle, their behaviors that they were engaging in or weren't engaging in. And I really try not to do that anymore. Their health is none of my business. Our culture is doing this thing. Our current culture not only worships thinness, but also kind of worships health. Let me think of some examples of this. When we're under the assumption that weight equals health, I see people doing things to lose weight or to achieve thinness that actually cause their health to decline. There are behaviors that promote health, and then there are behaviors that research has shown does not improve health. Something that is pretty much well known by everybody is that smoking cigarettes is not a healthy thing to do. There's been hundreds, if not thousands, of research studies that show smoking cigarettes can lead to lung cancer. And I have heard people say that they don't want to stop smoking because they don't want to gain weight. So they're not actually concerned about their health. They're concerned about their appearance. I'm all for somebody wanting to become healthier, and I will support that. But we can pursue health through engaging in health-promoting behaviors without pursuing weight loss. Where I see this being harmful is, because I have experience working in the fitness industry for 10 years, around New Year's, a lot of people join the gym and they have goals to become quote-unquote healthier. And they come to the gym, they're exercising, they're engaging in cardiovascular exercise, which we know makes our heart stronger. We know helps prevent against cardiovascular disease. Maybe they're doing classes, and maybe they're doing some strength training, which we know makes us stronger, makes our skeletal system stronger, helps prevent osteoporosis, helps lead to a longer life of being independent without relying on people to take care of you, whether that's loved ones or moving to a nursing home. But when people are exercising, again, we see this around New Year's often, they are engaging in the behaviors, which means their health is improving. Their heart is getting stronger. Their muscles are getting stronger. They're feeling like they have better endurance. And then they get on the scale and they're disappointed because the number on the scale didn't go down, or it didn't go down as much as they think it should have when they compare themselves to that stupid show, The Biggest Loser. And then ultimately, they're discouraged and they quit coming to the gym and they cancel their membership. Their goal wasn't to improve health, because their health was improving. And if that truly would have been their goal, they would have continued coming to the gym. Their goal was ultimately weight loss, because that is what caused them to, you know, the lack of weight loss caused them to be discouraged and caused them to say, this isn't working, I quit. So we're all human beings. And even though we're all the same species, our bodies react differently to health-promoting behaviors, or react differently when we start engaging in health-promoting behaviors. Some people start exercising or start eating more nutrient-dense foods, and they prioritize getting enough high-quality sleep, and they put energy into building healthier relationships and connecting with people more. Other people really focus on managing their stress better. Some people will put energy into improving their relationship with food in order to become healthier. So regardless of the health-promoting behavior a person is engaging in, bodies react differently. Some people start these behaviors and maybe they do lose a little bit of weight. Other people engage in these behaviors and they don't lose the weight that they think they should have lost. There's a lot of different things that impact whether our body will lose weight, how it responds to health-promoting behaviors, a whole long laundry list of things, such as dieting history, such as genetics. I could go on, and we can get deeper into that in the future. Everybody always wants to give the credit to weight loss. Oh my goodness, this makes me so mad. People always will be like, wow, I lost weight and I'm feeling so much better. My endurance is better. I'm stronger. I'm able to shovel my own driveway. I'm able to carry the laundry basket up the basement steps easier. And on about how I have more energy. And they always say, because of the weight loss. And it's like, wait, are you feeling like you have more endurance because you've been engaging in cardiovascular movement? So let's give the credit where the credit is due. Let's say maybe your endurance improved because you've been engaging in endurance activities. Let's say you feel stronger because you are doing strength training now, not because you lost weight. I'm so sick of weight loss getting the credit for every single reason why people feel better. So I hope you're starting to get an understanding in the ways our culture worships the pursuit of thinness and how damaging and harmful that can be to somebody's physical health. And I hope you're also starting to gain an understanding for ways in which people sometimes actually sacrifice their physical health in order to be thin. And those people often will say that they want to be healthier, but what they actually want is to be thin. So if we're engaging in behaviors such as eating less than enough is one of the most unhealthy things that we can do. But that's what people always end up doing, restricting food, following rigid food rules that cut entire food groups out, which means we're not getting as many vitamins and minerals and nutrients. We're not eating to the point of satisfaction and physical fullness. So I hope you're understanding that what I'm really trying to do with this episode is untie this false idea that our weight is an indicator of our health. Those are two completely separate things. And I next want to move into calling out some of the lies that I commonly see clients believing. I myself probably have believed in some of these lies before I worked to heal my own relationship with food. So one lie I see all of the time is this idea that you'll be happier when you're thinner. And a lot of people have lost weight, gone on diets. They lose weight short term. The weight typically ends up coming back, if not more. We see that happening very often with intentional weight loss. And I truly think that if life was as magical and perfect as we're conditioned to believe it will be once we are thinner, if life was perfect because of thinness, that weight would be maintained. And I don't want you to think that you're a failure because you've gone on a diet and ended up gaining the weight back. I just want you to know that people who have lost weight still have problems. Thin people still have kids that don't behave themselves perfectly. Thin people still have to work to pay their mortgage. Thin people still have catastrophes that happen in their life. It's not like thinness is this thing that automatically protects you from every bad thing to happen. I also see clients putting things off in life, and this breaks my heart. So the way that this shows up is, once I finally have the body that I want, then I will fill in the blank. So once I finally have the body that I want, then we'll get our family portrait taken. Once I finally have the body that I want, then I'll plan the beach vacation and put on the bathing suit. Once I finally have the body I want, then I'll go for the promotion. Once I finally have the body I want, I'll start dating. Once I finally have the body I want, then I will feel comfortable in a wedding dress and being a bride. And it's almost like this perception or this idea that real life doesn't start until I achieve the weight that I want to be or achieve the appearance that I want my body to have. When truly, real life started the moment you were born. And all of these things that you are waiting to put off until you lose weight, you're wasting your life. It's sad, the amount of time and energy and resources and thought space that people spend and ultimately waste pursuing weight loss when they can have a happy life now. They can do all of the things that they're putting off now. They can pursue health without pursuing weight loss. Our cultural obsession with thinness is not something that started just in our current generation or even our parents' or grandparents' generation. This has been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and it's related to diet culture, which I will be defining in a very near future episode, as well as the history of our thin obsession. But before I can get into all of those deeper concepts, I kind of felt like it was important to lay a foundation today, and we'll continue laying this foundation for quite a while so that you get an understanding of some terms that I will commonly be using and you're grasping the definition of the term, and then we'll keep building on this foundation and eventually start talking about how all of these things impact our relationship with food. And how these things end up impacting our body image. I hope that some of the big takeaways from today is that weight and health are not one in the same thing, that healthy bodies come in all shapes and sizes, and that unhealthy bodies come in all shapes and sizes as well. There's some interesting research that is coming out where when they study people that happen to live in larger bodies, and they're looking at their health, they're adjusting out and putting people into separate categories. So maybe a person who lives in a larger body and they don't engage in X, Y, and Z health promoting behaviors versus people who live in a larger body who do engage in X, Y, and Z health promoting behaviors, and they're categorizing people differently based on behaviors, not strictly body size. And we're seeing that, yeah, oh my goodness, when we look at behaviors, it does not matter as much as we thought it did about how much a person weighs. What really matters and what really impacts health is some of these behaviors that we choose to engage in or choose not to engage in. I also really hope that this conversation inspired you to take a mental note of things that you might be putting off doing for a later date until, you know, I don't want to do this until I'm thinner, or I'd rather do this once I've lost the weight and finally have the body that I've always wanted. I challenge you between now and the next episode to figure out some of the things that you might be putting off doing until you lose weight, or things that you don't want to do until you have the perfect body. Figure out what it is that you can do and do it now. Don't wait. Life is passing you by and life is short. Thank you so much for tuning in. That's the show. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, I'd be so grateful if you take a minute to follow or subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review on Apple, Spotify, or whatever podcast platform you're listening on. It helps others to find the podcast and continue spreading this important information to more people who need to hear it. This podcast is made possible by paid supporters at patreon.com/makepeacewithfood. They're truly what keep this show going so that I can pay my assistant, editor, producer, and allow me to keep sharing all of this content and doing this important and needed work with you all. Go to patreon.com/makepeacewithfood to sign up for as little as $3 per month. Make Peace with Food is hosted by me, Emily Lavoie. It's produced and edited by Jake Lamore at Pathfinder. Thank you so much for your support.